I'd like to thank you for the invitation to be here this evening. And my thanks to Tim for incurring the great cost of bringing me in from Port Williams. The chapel was always an important central part to my life as a student and also as a faculty member. And here I received healing, renewed direction, and recommitment. So my joy is to be here with you tonight. And I'd like us to focus for a few minutes on this verse from Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. This is a passage with a history, but on its face, who can't identify with the psalmist's plea and deep-seated longing? The psalmist is praying for a brand new beginning, a fresh start, a clean spirit, what we might call in the digital age a spiritual reboot. Who hasn't felt like this or longed for the same thing? Wouldn't it be wonderful to wake up some morning devoid of our insecurities, worries, resentments, sadness, hopelessnesses, and to find in their place joy, happiness, contentment, confidence, and freedom? Before we go too far down this road, though, let me provide some context and let us look a bit at the history of this passage. Psalm 51 is known as the best of the confession or penitential psalms and is widely used in Christian worship, especially at the beginning of Lent. And tonight I'm not trying to usher in Lent prematurely, but at the beginning of a new year, this is not a bad place to start our lives together in worship. Those who put titles on the psalms after they were written assigned this one to King David, who was deep in agony after Nathan the prophet's skillful and electable condemnation of David for his egregious act of adultery with Bathsheba and for engineering the death of her husband Uriah. Even if this was not David's psalm technically, it fits his moral struggle. Feeling remorseful, dirty, and crushed, David pleads for a new start, a spiritual makeover, a new and a right spirit. Isn't that what we flawed beings often look for when our old spirits are tarnished, worn out, crushed, and not up to coping? It's my theory that this desire explains some of the flawed ways we humans try for renewal. Is it too simplistic to say that this in part can be an underlying cause of substance abuse, extreme activities, or excessive indulgence of appetites? The hope to get away from our old selves and to replace them with more energized and hopeful feelings about who we are and what life is about. Too bad in the digital age there wasn't an app for this. And speaking of the digital age, which I am supposed to because that's the theme for the term, how is this spiritual renewal made easier or harder in the digital age? The digital age has brought many changes to our lives, the way we do things, our expectations, our habits, our values. And as we know, the digital age and the accompanying technology have both positive and negative aspects and different impacts on our lives. Easily executed financial transactions, enhanced shopping, opportunities, easier and cheaper communication, information at our fingertips, opportunities brought near that were once remote. But it has also brought new frustrations. Full mailbox that we find on our return from a vacation, computer malfunctions, publication of personal information that makes us vulnerables from everyone to marketers to scammers, and awareness of needs that we didn't even know we had. Tonight, the question, how does a digital age impede or facilitate our search for this inner renewal? And it's a good one, one we will keep in mind as we look at the features of the psalmist's cry for renewal. First, let's consider that with the psalmist, there was an awakening of his consciousness. Let's call this a spiritual awakening. Awakening to our own feelings about who we are and how we live. Attentiveness to whispers and fears, gnawing guilt, stabbing unhappiness, and also our joys, certainties, and aspirations and longings. This inner dialogue can often be ignored in the digital age because we're distracted and drawn towards manufactured voices. Fleeting, deletable messages, the ideas of others, and sounds that come usually via earbuds. A while ago, I sat in a living room with some young people, and I tried to start up a conversation with them, but I soon realized that I was a distraction from their main preoccupation, which was checking their phones and iPads. In the digital age, the wireless voice can have more immediacy and be more compelling than a dialogue with others or a dialogue even with ourselves. One of the dangers in the digital age is that gadgets and technology can move us away from encountering ourselves, our own thoughts, ideas, critical thinking, and convince us that what is most important are the messages that do not come from within but come from the ether. It's not uncommon to see someone walking in deep thought but attached to a cord and moving to the rhythms of someone else. To paraphrase the Swiss psychoanalyst Paul Tournier, our lives are filled with more gadgets, but we have less contact with spirituality. The scholar Marcus Borg calls our condition the separated self. In the digital age, we're used to being searched and examined. It's become common and standard part of life. In airport security, our bags are scanned, along with the contents of our pockets and the soles of our shoes. And modern medical care includes such things as mammographies, blood tests, x-rays, CAT scans, MRIs, EKGs, EEGs, biopsies, and colonoscopies. But our spiritual renewal begins with an examination of ourselves, by ourselves, and the listening to the deep yearnings and thoughts and stirrings of our own soul. In the psalmist's journey, secondly, there was an acknowledgement of a standard. The psalmist is aware that he is not what he ought to be. His shortcomings are before him and blatant and debilitating. I remember attending a funeral for a former parishioner of mine. She was a Second World War II widow and was left on her own to bring up four children. She did a remarkable job looking after her own family and also looking after the needs of her community. As I listened to her minister describe her life and what she had done and the nature of her character, I was convinced that I had to be a better person. The standard was there for me. One of the marks of the digital age is exposure to a range of life philosophies and values, often offered without comment or assessment. A plethora of actions and attitudes abound in the marketplace of ideas as options free to adopt and simulate. Before we ask which standard, we must ask the question, is there a need for a standard? Are there right and wrong ways of being and of acting? Recently, I asked someone for their thoughts about the situation in the Dalhousie Dentistry Program. He said, I don't know, but one thing I do know is that the men there were very stupid. And I asked him if that was different from being wrong. And the conversation stopped. And I wondered if maybe the new wrong is stupid. In the digital age where personalities and profiles proliferate, there are few reasonable voices that help us discriminate between the right and the wrong and the worthy and the false. Our self-examination and conversation with ourselves will inevitably lead us to feel badly about some of the ways we have lived our lives because we know there's another way to be and another way to act. Our self-examination may make us feel worse. It did the psalmist. But before we plead for a new spirit and a new way of being, we often need to feel the pain and the anguish of our own shortcomings. And thirdly, the psalmist is a good example of this, a desperate plea. In the digital age, we're used to being able to find things we need, a piece of information, access to media, purchases, and doing things we need to do, making reservations, communicating with others, and most of the time, to do it immediately. It's hard to think of wanting something so important that it can't be gained with a click. Something that comes from a source with no IPS address, does not come from the world of apps, digital images or gadgets, and may not come to us immediately. CBC's comedy show, The Irrelevant Show, had a good take on this week, and the shortcomings of our digital solutions. It had an advertisement for a new app. Am I getting wet? You're a busy person and you need to know at any given moment whether your clothes, skin, or hair is wet or dry. Well, wonder no more. Just turn on the digital barometer and measure the moisture in the air. Put your thumb on the fingerprint scanner, pull out one of your hairs, and thread it into the receptor. Then simply wait 45 minutes for our software to run an analysis algorithm. And before you know it, am I getting wet? We'll tell you with 85% accuracy whether you're getting wet, or to be more accurate, whether you were wet 45 minutes ago. The psalmist's desire is a simple, heartfelt plea that he knows can only be fulfilled by greater reliance upon God through time. After having emptied himself and prayed vigorously for cleansing, the psalmist calls upon God to purge his old desires and inclinations and to fill him with a new and right spirit, to reformat the hard drive of his soul. It may not come immediately, but he knows where to look and whom to ask. This plea leads us to find our way back to our spiritual aquifers, past our self-images, pretenses, regrets, guilt to identify where our lives have been corrupted, the source of our hurts, regrets, and guilt to find our bearings again to be made over. The verb create in verse 10 occurs in the Bible only with God as the subject. And the result is always an entirely new thing, such as the creation of the world in Genesis. The psalmist believes that only God can create a new heart. Kierkegaard said, purity of heart is to will one thing. The psalmist's plea is to will this one thing. For 30 years, I suffered from a facial pain, neuralgic pain. And going to a pain clinic, the doctor started in a regimen of 3 injections in my face, and happily and surprisingly, after the first injection, the pain went away after 30 years. I asked the doctor why this happened, because he hadn't even finished his treatment. And he said, it's sometimes like a computer that doesn't go right and you shut it down, and when it reboots, everything works well. He said, nerves are sometimes like that. They have to find a new pathway. In the end, the spiritual reboot we long for is a new pathway to ourselves and to God, and is promoted by the simple but sincere and single-minded plea, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Amen.